Amen. Anyway, you can see the title here, Recognizing a Time of Visitation. I want to read from Matthew chapter 11. And some amazing miracles were happening. And in verse 16, interestingly, it says, "Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us.'" Oh, I should be showing you the script. "Great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The disciples of John reported all these things to John, to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, 'Are you the one who's to come, or shall we look for another?' And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" Wow. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the vision that God's given us as a church and seeing that it's based on the Bible. It's a big vision because we have a big God. And we've been looking and referencing, and we found that it's all in the Bible. And fulfilling God's vision for his world starts with the church taking the Great Commission and to go and make disciples. It's not just saving souls, it's forming disciples of Jesus Christ. And today I was going to be looking at discipleship and how that means, and let's look at some biblical references about what Jesus had to say about discipleship, and we'd have a look in the scriptures again. But just the events of the last 10 days or so have caught me up a little bit, and I just feel I've had to change direction. So I've entitled the message today, Recognizing a Time of Visitation. And I want to share some things that have happened this week in Reading. And I'm wondering, I'm not proclaiming and declaring this is everything that we've been crying out for, but I'm wondering, is this the beginning of what we've been longing and praying for years? I don't know, but we need to recognize a time of visitation when one comes. So my prayer for each and every one of us here today is, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts so that we might see what you're doing. Hope you agree with that prayer. By today, I was guessing it'd be 1,000. I'm told it's 1,100 names will have been collected of people who've been prayed for and responded to the gospel in some way on the streets of Reading in the last 2 weeks. Has anybody heard of that before in this town? I've not heard of anything like that before in this town. If I have two personal fears about church and church life, the ones which would come to mind is having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. That would be number one. In other words, we just go through the motions. We do the things that we used to do. When God was moving, when there was fire in our hearts, when there was passion in our hearts, we continue as if that was the same, but actually it's become a form and there isn't the life of God in our midst. That's one of my fears, that that could happen to us. We put on services and we play and we preach like God is among us, but we don't realize that actually he left a little while ago. It looks good on the outside, but the inside is empty. We have a religious form which has replaced spiritual passion and life. We do church. We do it well, but we don't need God. We don't need the presence of the Holy Spirit because we've become professional. We know how to do the stuff. That's a fear I have, that we and the church could move into that sort of place, not realizing that the presence of God is not how it used to be. That's why we must never settle. That's why we must learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to keep hungry and hot after God. That's why we need to be real and authentic. And I'm going to be real and authentic today. So I'll tell you something, religion kills. We've been out on the streets and religion kills. And so many people have tasted religion and they've tasted, everybody's plastered, any Christian, anybody's plastered, you're a religious person. And it's killed them and they're not interested. But the Spirit of God brings life. And there's a religious spirit. And I see it in some of the denominations. And it blinds and it obstructs and it brings death. But the Spirit of God brings life. It brings healing, brings hope, brings salvation, brings eternal life. That's what I want to be part of. Not like in the last days, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And my other fear would be not recognizing the time of visitation when it comes. When we've been crying out for God to come, crying out for revival, when we've been believing for God, but when he arrives, the wrapping is different. It's not how we were expecting it to be. And we don't get it, and we judge it, and even worse, we criticize it. We would be in danger of missing out on a visitation of God. And more than anything else, if we're going to see Reading changed, if we're going to see this nation changed, more than anything else, we need a powerful visitation of the Holy Spirit. And missing it because our hearts are hard or proud or our mindset can't cope, that frightens me. And yet it happens all the time. The Jews missed the Messiah. It was a carpenter. They thought he was going to be a general, which was going to take on the Romans. He wasn't what they were expecting. The crowds on Pentecost missed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're only drunk. And yet it was the most phenomenal day up to that stage when the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven. And they missed it. 110 years or so ago in Wales, revival swept the principality. John will know about it. 100,000 were saved in 9 months. And yet churches missed it. Churches in Wales, they didn't get it. Didn't seem like it was what God would do. Evan Roberts, he was a bit of a character. He was a bit eccentric. It was a little bit of a mystical, in a good sort of way. You couldn't box Evan Roberts in. You know, after 3 hours or 4 hours, the Spirit may move him to speak. And the people would have been there that length of time and wondering, is he ever going to speak? And he didn't just follow the form. And people became very critical. And there were churches praying for revival in Wales, and yet all around them, 100,000 were being swept into heaven. And they missed it. The pubs were closing. They were going out of business because their customers were at chapel. Rugby matches were cancelled because there weren't enough players to make the teams because they were at chapel. We're even told that the miners had problems controlling their ponies in the pits because the ponies were used to blasphemy and swear words to get them going, and that language stopped and they didn't understand. God moved incredibly over 9 months. And yet many, many missed the visitation of God. Some probably had already experienced God. 45 years earlier, they had another powerful revival. And maybe they think it should be like this. This is what it was. But God can't be boxed in, and he moves how he wants to move. And church, I'm just saying, ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart to see what he's doing. A coal miner. How could he be called to lead a revival? A fat American. I was at the conferences with John Wimber. Outside, go home, John Wimber. The charismatic movement is of the devil. We don't need you here. Go home, John Wimber. But God chose, as he called himself, a fat American, to bring a touch of God to the nations. A little Spanish-speaking Colombian. one of the biggest churches in the world. He speaks Spanish. Don't need to listen. Don't want to go there. It offends me what they're doing. A tattoo-covered Canadian. Crazy guy. He just struggled with the appearance of Todd Bentley. But God used him. God chose him. And people were offended. And you can understand why. But we had to work through the offense because God was using him. This white-suited American with this funny hairstyle, Benny Hinn. So many Christians don't like him. Many Christians are critical of Benny Hinn. And I'm holding fire because I don't necessarily like everything he says or does or the style. But I know millions have been touched through the ministry of Benny Hinn. And now, this guy with white glasses, turned up shirt, the anointing is like that, turns up in Reading. And I'm thinking, what on earth have we got here? All of these people, one way or the other, have managed to offend. None of them are perfect, but all I believe God has chosen because he sees what's in their heart. We've been talking about the dream of God to conquer the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in the Bible. We've been talking about God's dream to transform lives, families, communities, cities, and nations. It's in the Bible. And we've been reminded it's totally impossible in our own strength. It has to be a move of the Holy Spirit. And it's just when one comes, it's not always easy to discern. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Is God in this? But when we recognize the finger of God, regardless of the style or the personality, we need to embrace wholeheartedly what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So here in this passage, incredibly, it would seem John the Baptist is having second thoughts about Jesus. He thought he knew who he was. Do you remember in the early days, his disciples were pointing to him and he encouraged them to go. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He knew who his cousin was. He knew that he had come to prepare a way for the Messiah to come. He knew that he had to decrease. It didn't matter that he was losing his disciples and more were going over to Jesus, because that was the plan of God, that he decreases, but this one, the Messiah, will increase. But now he's in prison. He probably wasn't expecting to be in prison. And I think the packaging wasn't quite what John was expecting. It wasn't working out how he thought. And he heard some of the stories about what was happening. But he hadn't heard possibly that Rome was being pushed back or that there was an uprising against the politicians or the military. Maybe that's what he was expecting. But whatever it was, he was getting confused. And so he sends two of his disciples to check him out. And Jesus hints at these disciples, and maybe John or at least others, and he says, you know, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. I'll come back to that in a moment or two, because it's so easy to get offended, to get critical when God starts to move. And I see offense is a favorite weapon of the enemy. It hardens your heart. It blinds your eyes. We take offense. We dig in. And all that God wants to do, we could miss by not being aware of the plan of God in our lives. So let me come back to 2016. I arrived back from holiday 10 days ago. I received a text from a friend of mine, lives in Reading, goes to church in Windsor. This was Saturday morning, and he said, did you hear of 350 being saved through one-to-one evangelism on the streets of Reading this week? And hearing angelic songs, someone in Brighton posted it on Facebook. Do you know anything about it? Well, I didn't. I've been on holiday. I was intrigued. And I wrote back, I said, I know there's a mission. I know it's happening at this other church. had no idea that those sort of numbers were being talked about. Monday was my day off, and we'd got back earlier in the week. Every day we'd been out, and every evening we'd been out. And Jackie says, should we go to Yinka's meeting tonight? And part of me didn't want to go. I just wanted to relax. I knew I had a busy week ahead. But we were intrigued. So we decided to go along. And it was hot. It didn't start on time. There was just a few, 40, 50 maybe. Didn't know the songs. Didn't particularly like the voice of one of the singers. Doing my best to connect. And after 20 minutes, half an hour, in walks this guy, on your Bible really, leather coat, upturned collar, white glasses, big Bible, and he walks down the aisle, and I think to myself, oh, Yinka will intercept this character. You know, where's he come from? He's not worn those white glasses since, but they were there on that night. Just for me, I think. Then I realized this was the main man. And for the next hour and a half, he interconnected with the worship and ministry and prophetic in song and all of this sort of stuff. I had so many reasons to feel, Lord, I don't know if you're in this or not. Started at 7, 9 o'clock, they all got up, and I thought it was the end of the meeting. So I got up to go. Yinka rushes over. Nev, so good to see you. Just stay a bit long. Stay. We've got some testimonies. You've got to hear the testimonies. Well, at 9:45, we still hadn't heard the testimonies, hadn't had a preach. I didn't realize that they were coming. I thought they must have changed the program, and so we left. But I think about midnight, they'd finished the meeting. And that was our first experience. And we were left very intrigued because we heard a lot more about more souls being saved during that day. Outside the pavilion, Tuesday, I nip to the shops to get something, and I meet three guys. And they just led two people to the Lord on the steps of the pavilion. Cheek. No. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We're doing the stuff inside, but they do the proper stuff outside. Absolutely brilliant. And I stopped and chatted to them. I thought, we've never done that. We've been outside the pavilion. We've been sharing the gospel. Half the people didn't even seem to understand our language, but they'd just been there a few minutes, and two guys gave their lives to the Lord. And not even from our church, and we don't know anything about them. But that picture was on Facebook, and I thought, well, praise God, praise God. Totally brilliant. So the next day, pastor's prayer. Not been for 2 weeks, been on a holiday. And turn up at the pastor's prayer. 40 or 50 pastors are gathered every week. John's one of them. Been going for 20th year. So 19 years it's been going. We're starting our 20th year now. 8 o'clock every Wednesday. And the guy with the white glasses threw all these 600 cards on the floor. And he said, every one of these cards represents a name that we've got from somebody we've met on the streets who's prayed the prayer and has given us their details and wants to commit to the Lord. 600. I just have to keep connecting. Lord, I'm not feeling anything in here, but I'm looking at 600 bits of paper there with names and details on, having allowed people to pray for them and, incredibly, having given them their personal information about how to be in contact. Can you hear where I'm going? Wow. I come back. I'm excited. I'm thinking, God, are you doing something? I try and discern. Is this you, Lord? I know Malcolm prays with the cross, and I've been there a few times in the past, and I thought, I knew the team were going to be around, so I decide on Wednesday, well, I'm going to go up and just see what's happening in Broad Street with Malcolm and the cross. And on the way up there, I'm just walking up towards Cafe Nero, and I can see somebody just falling over, and a little group around them. Well, I found Gareth from Reading Community, the gate. I said, Gareth, is she unwell or is this a God thing? I think it's the Holy Spirit. We just prayed for her. She went straight out. I don't know how long that lady was there for, They were making her more comfortable than that, so that by the time I'd left, which was just a minute or two later, there was a bag under her head, and she was communicating, and they were just ministering to this unsaved, that previously unsaved person. I've never seen that in Reading. Can you hear where I'm coming from? Lord, are you doing something new? Are you doing something new? I get to the cross, and I see people there that I've not seen before, or not seen for a long time, and have a chat with those. I said, where's Norman? Is Norman's normally here? Oh, Norman's giving tracts out. And I find Norman. I say, Norman, how are you doing? He said, it's amazing. It's amazing. Now, Norman knows nothing about anything. I mean, not normally, but this. Knew nothing about this. He said, it just feels different. It feels like I can get hold of, I don't know if he said heaven or God, and just touch. There's an atmosphere change. He said, I led somebody to the Lord today, not using script or anything like that, just Norman being Norman, wanting to share the gospel. I don't know if that was the first time at the cross, but I led someone to the Lord today. I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? So many questions, so easy to be offended, but something seems to be happening. And people say to me, they come up and say, Nev, maybe it's revival, maybe there's something happening, but why has it started there and not with us? And I'm thinking, you've got to be careful of our hearts. It's one church in Reading. It might have been Providence down the road, it might have been the gate, it could have been here, it could be somewhere else. It doesn't matter. I said, I rejoice because it's my church, because we're one church. And I'm rejoicing wherever it starts. And we've got to check pride. We don't deserve revival. We don't deserve God to come here any more than anywhere else. And for some, that was a test. Others are saying to me, but where's the disciples? Where's the follow-up? And I know that's our heart. That's exactly where I would be. That's exactly where what the questions I'm asking. And I'm saying, I don't know. Not my responsibility at the moment. But if God's in this, we'll see. Something will come through. If God's in this, it'll become clear. Others, well, I don't like Americans. And I want to say God loves them more than you do. God loves Americans. Get over it. Just get over it. God uses people from all nations, all nationalities. Love the Americans because they love us. And that Tommy was so positive and just loved the UK and what God's doing. They might be different and they have different perspectives. But God's not prejudiced, we just need to welcome them with open arms. Don't like the white glasses and flashy. Well, that's me. Okay, let's leave that one. He's a free man; he can do what he wants. But if the annoying, you might not like Manchester United up here, but just relax, just chill. God can just do what he wants. It's the anointing which is the important thing. And I just want to really, I'm coming to a close really. But Life Spring, we're not here just to have a fantastic building. We're not here to have beautiful homes, lovely cars, nice holidays, great jobs. God loves us. He'll probably give us all of that anyhow. But that's not the most important thing. Too many of church make that the most important thing. The most important thing is to do the will of God. And the will of God is to save souls and make disciples. That's what is beginning to happen in Reading. And if he's visiting us in a new way, in a powerful way, we at the very least need to be open and to welcome a visitation of God in our hearts. Amen. So John the Baptist was confused. And he was in danger of being offended. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, go tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. In other words, John, Messiah has arrived. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Messiah has arrived. Many were being healed. Many were being delivered and saved. Tell John, this is the real deal. The kingdom has broken in. The kingdom of God has come. Light is breaking in the darkness. No, it's not political. No, it's not military action. It's much more powerful. So don't be offended, John. Don't be offended. Because of me. Look at the fruit. And Life Spring, I want to encourage us to look at the fruit. Over 1,000 responses in 2 weeks in Reading. Moves of God aren't always to discern in the early stages. moves of God need to be protected in the early stages. Otherwise, our logic comes in and we abort what God has started to do. It's not helpful to rush to explanations too quickly. There's people wanting to come from all over the country, and I'm just feeling in myself, hold on, hold on, hold on. If this is from God, it still needs to be established. It still needs more before we rush and tell the world. If it's of God, something's going to grow and develop here. But the fruit is soul saved. The fruit is so many responses. Pastors, I'm one of them, for the first time getting out. Well, not, I've been out on the streets for many times, but first time last week I led 3 people to the Lord out on the streets of Reading. Other pastors are saying, I can preach behind the pulpit, I can do this, that, and the other. I'm absolutely petrified on the streets. God's doing something new because pastors are going out on the streets. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me, Brazilian lady, she said, I knew I could evangelize in Brazil, but I never thought England would take any notice. But this week I found it's different. People have responded. What's happened? I don't think it changed here. This changed. A mindset changed. It is possible to lead people to the Lord here. And I want to say to you, what I'm seeing looks pretty good. I'm still testing the waters, but I'm positive about what I'm seeing. I'm getting involved. I'm not sitting back. Look at some stupid people on Facebook. They're already criticizing and this. And I'm just saying, oh my Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. If it's not of God, it's going to blow over. But if it is of God, the answer to our prayers has begun to happen. And if it's God, it's going to get clearer, more mature, and more powerful. And these seeds sown, I see these cards as seeds sown. Parable of the sower, word has gone out. People have liked what they've heard. They've given us their name. They've given us their phone numbers. Everybody will be contacted. If we get 10% who have responded and said, and I'm hoping for much more, if we have 10%, 100 say, this was real to me. Do you think there'd be much rejoicing in heaven? So much rejoicing in heaven. I want to follow Jesus. I want to live my life for him. What if it was half of them? What if 50%? 500. Already Yinka's saying, we can't cope. We can't cope with these numbers. Nev, just take a wad of these cards. Ring them. Consolidate them. You can have them. Yeah, there's just too many. Do you hear where I'm coming from, church? I don't think you do. Ask the eyes of your heart to be opened and to see. We have the best structure in town to help with revival. We're learning how to win. We know how to consolidate. We know how to disciple. And we're going to train and send people out to do the same again. That's G12. That's G12. That's G12. G12 works best in the revival situation. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for more workers. We need to pray for more people to go fishing. Next Saturday, there's opportunity again. Well, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We need more cell leaders. We need to get ready. We need more prayers. All of these cards need to be prayed over. You know, people have responded, but when the soft rain was coming down this morning, I felt, Lord, this is what we need spiritually. Soft rain to soften our hearts. Soft rain to soften the hearts of these souls. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that these written leaflets become souls saved and passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to pray for workers because the harvest is ripe. We can't afford to lose the fruit. Consolidation preserves the fruit. We need to learn, the church in Reading needs to learn how to consolidate, because these are the ones that Jesus died for, and he doesn't want us to lose any. So we need to care for them to the glory of God. I'm calling for a response today, church. Much is required from whom much is given. This week, there's more meetings planned. I've got a diary as well. I can't get to everything and do everything. I want to encourage you to connect. Check it out. Test it. Go out on the streets. Go and share the gospel. Get trained. And let's see what God's want to do. Because this is his heart, to see souls saved and Reading transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. You've all been very quiet, but let's stand. Thank you, Richard. First thing I want to tell everybody, God loves you. And God's got a plan for your life. That's the good news. That, I was speaking to somebody yesterday, he said, I'd like to know God's plan. I said, well, it starts with you giving your life to him. None of us can make ourselves good enough for heaven. Some think they're pretty good out there. None of us can make ourselves good enough for heaven. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. Some in a big way, others in just not quite such a big way. But Jesus came and Jesus died. And he paid the price to make it possible for us to go to heaven. That all of that bad stuff in our lives, that barrier between us and God, could be broken down through the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's the only way. He's the only way. Only through Jesus can we be saved. And everybody that signed one of those cards and prayed that prayer in faith is immediately taken out of darkness and brought into light. No judgment, no condemnation, forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there may be some here today that have not made that commitment themselves. Maybe what I've talked about today just seems so foreign, because actually you haven't even filled in one of those forms. You're one of those people that's not yet made that commitment to God. I just want to give you the opportunity now. If you'd like to raise your hand so I can see you. If you'd like to make a commitment to give your life to Jesus today, to know that assurance of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, restored relationship with God, would you just raise your hand so that I can see, and we'd like to pray. I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here today who wants to make that commitment? Or maybe a recommitment. Maybe some of you thought, well, I was walking with God. I've lost a heart. I've lost passion. I'm not where I was. I want to get back with God again. I want to give my life back to God. If there's anybody there, just raise your hand so I can see. And we'd like to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I want to thank you that you are an amazing God. You're a faithful God. You're a loving God. I thank you that you love us and you have plans for each one of us. I want to pray, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to the glory of salvation. Open our hearts. It's what it seems like you're beginning to do in this town, that we might partner with you, walk with you, and embrace all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're going to sing one last song to close. I need to give opportunity for LifeSpring to say, if God's in this, I want to be too. And that means I want to ask you to come and respond and come to the front, and we want to pray, and we want to really ask God. It's a challenge for some of you, I know, and it may be you feel, well, I can't be out there, I can't be doing this, but if you're with us as we test the waters, test with a positive heart, test with expecting it to be of God, I want to ask you to come forward, and we'd like to pray together. Like to stand together. I want to ask that there's workers here that say, this week I'm going to go out on the streets. I'm going to get some training. I'm going to go out with experienced people that have been out once before, which is what it's working out like, because there's so many people responding. I want to ask you to come forward. If you're feeling there's a fear in my heart, like the rest of us feel, and you find that so hard to even think about doing, I want to ask you to come forward. God wants to break that fear. God wants to break that fear. Why are there people in this town that don't know about Jesus? Because the church is happy to stay in its building, to give out sandwiches. Sorry, John, we need to give out sandwiches. I'm for all that sort of stuff too. But we're happy to do all of that stuff. But we're very reluctant to share the gospel. We're very reluctant to tell them that they need to know about Jesus. And Jesus is the only way. And this is good news. And I believe God wants to birth something afresh in our hearts. Whatever happens in Reading, this is good news. And whether it stops us or whatever, we need to continue with this work of God. Because God wants to see Reading saved. God wants to see souls saved. God wants to see cell leaders. We need people responding, saying, I'm going to be trained to be a cell leader. I want to be trained to disciple others. I want to be an evangelist. I want to share this good news. Then they're going to pray. And we're going to pray that God touches hearts. And revival breaks out in our midst. Amen. 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 Don't settle for watching the football every day, James, wherever you are. Don't settle for just watching football over this month. Don't just sit behind your televisions in the evening. Don't just do your social stuff and everything else. Do that, but also give time to greet and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give time to come and pray. We need to pray here. We need to pray for souls. I want to see hundreds of papers in the pavilion of those people which we've met, and we're going to pray and see them come to life and to light and to become disciples of Jesus Christ. I believe God wants to do something fresh. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song. We won't pray while we're singing it, so we're better hear what we're saying. But let's sing this song together. And if you still want prayer, you make your way forward. And I'm going to ask those which have already been out on the streets to begin to pray with those which haven't. And then if you still want prayer at the end, we'll pray for you too. Okay? So let's sing whatever we're going to sing, Richard. And then we'll have a time of prayer and ministry. And I believe God breaking into hearts and an army beginning to rise up in our midst. Amen.